Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. We will be looking at the story of Jesus that the choir has already alerted us to. And we'll be reading, I'd like us to read through that portion together in just a moment. So that's Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29, found on page 686 in your pew Bible. So I was watching the Blue Jays game the other evening when, in between innings, the announcers referenced a contest being sponsored by Rogers Communication to commemorate dad jokes in honor of Father's Day. So listeners were encouraged to send in their best dad jokes for the chance to win a 55-inch Samsung 4K TV. I knew that my kids would be all over that because they just love my dad jokes over the years. Not. But after giving the details of the contest, the announcer gave his best dad joke. He said, "Last night I dreamed I was a muffler. When I woke, I was exhausted." How about one more? Do you know whose father started the knock-knock jokes? Well, neither do I, but I heard that he won the Nobel Prize. Well, I could keep going, but wisdom calls me otherwise. Because wisdom calls us to the art of living well that others around us benefit. And there's no more important environment for wisdom to exist, I believe, than in the family. And that's why I would like to explore with you this morning, since I have discovered from experience that being a dad is no joke and calls for extreme wisdom. I'd like to look with you this morning at the story that Jesus told about the wise and foolish builders. Follow along or read with me. Actually, I think the story found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, found on page 686 in your Bibles. Let's read this together. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Well, from this account, I think we can discover some essential components for gaining wisdom at home. The first matter to consider for living wisely at home is to take into account that storms happen to all of us. Storms happen to all of us. The presence of storms in Jesus' story was just assumed by him. And the wise builder takes this into account when he builds his house. Every family must face the inevitability of storms that rage against the dream of happy ever after bliss that we have sometimes come to expect. There is not one household that does not experience the threat of pain and turmoil and dashed hopes and bitter disappointment caused by the inescapable storms of life. How we learn to deal with the reality of these storms will determine if we weather them safely or not. The one thing that storms do is to expose the foundations of our families. In his parable, Jesus boldly declares that the way to establish a solid foundation on which to build our families is to practice his teaching. A while ago, I was somewhat anxiously asking God to show me what to do in a matter that could affect the security of Janie and me, and indirectly our children and grandchildren. I was earnestly asking God to make his will known to me. I needed to have clarity on this matter. When I distinctly became aware of his spirit saying to my inner spirit, you know what to do. You know what to do. And as I listened, Jesus' words came to mind, remain in me and I will remain in you. And I realized I did know what to do. I am to remain in the assurance that God is trustworthy and rest in the hope that he will work all things for our good when I make loving him my first response in my life situations. Now let me say that this kind of trust that I've been speaking about is perhaps well known to many of you here today, and you just need to be reminded. But for others, this may be a totally new thing. You may be a little skeptical of abandoning your family in a trust-based relationship with God. It may even be that you have tried this once and you feel like you got burned, that God didn't come through for you in the way that you had wanted. Let me say that I hear your concerns and reluctance, but all I can say is that from the biblical record and from my own personal experience, I have found God to live up to who he says he is. And when the answers do not always come when I had anticipated or are not quite what I was looking for, trust in the wisdom and power of God as revealed in Jesus Christ has taught me to expectantly wait. In varying degrees, suffering and loss touch us all, as does the presence of God in Christ, if we have faith in his presence and hope in his promise. Well, fathers who learn to lean into God in the midst of storms of life find that exposed and even crumbling foundations can in fact be rebuilt. I remember when I took a seminary class on grief and loss that there was an older man in the class at the time, and he was sharing his relationship or the loss of his relationship with a daughter, how it had soured and led to a breakdown in the relationship between them. For several years, they barely spoke. Could hardly be said that they were like ships that passed in the night. They weren't even in the same ocean. However, recently they were talking again, and there were growing signs that the relationship that he longed to have with his daughter was being restored. And I recall to this day, with tears running down his face, he looked at all of us and said, "It is never too late to start again." This is so true. It's never too late to pick up the pieces of broken relationships and rebuild. Hope that things can be better is always a possible choice. There is forgiveness for mistakes and failures. There is a wisdom greater than ours that can serve as a foundation for health and wholeness. The God who came still comes. The God who forgave still forgives. The God who intervened still intervenes. The God who restores still restores. Our failures do not have to be either final or fatal. God is the master at creating something beautiful out of something broken. And so as I kind of pull out some observations this morning from this story that Jesus told, I'd like to unpack an acrostic of the word wise that's kind of been percolating around in my head for a bit. I'm usually not an acrostic kind of guy. Often I find them to be a little hokey, to be totally honest. So hopefully you won't find this to be hokey. But when it comes to being wise at home, I would propose the following. Start with wonder. Start with wonder. Several years ago, E.B. White wrote these words in the New Yorker magazine. "Last night the world shifted. There was a total eclipse of the moon, and the weather conditions were such that most people could have watched it from their front yards. But most people watched it on television. We live in a world where the heavens have been replaced by the television screen. We have largely lost our capacity for wonder and imagination when it comes to experiencing God. This has huge repercussions in families where God often, even if unconsciously, is viewed as boring and out of touch with our reality. Families that wallow in the wonder of God will never get stuck in the ordinary. They will find joy in the journey and delight in the ever-present reality of God's glorious presence." Secondly, after starting with wonder, move to instruction. Move to instruction. When Moses was preparing Israeli families to enter into the land that God promised to them, he gave them this directive. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So clearly, Moses is declaring here that the primary place for the instruction of our children in godly understanding is in the home. The church then becomes a place that complements the teaching that occurs in the home, not the primary place of instruction. This homeschooling of our children, and let me add grandchildren, in God's ways, has both a formal and informal approach. There is to be the intentional times of biblical reading and instruction, but there is also to be the spontaneous moments of relating God's being to our everyday experience. Wonder, instruction. Next, families who are growing wise in God's ways keep short accounts. And by this I mean they don't let disagreements fester. They move intentionally in resolving conflict. The Apostle Paul tells us, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I'd make some observations from this declaration that the apostle made. First of all, anger is to be expected. Paul doesn't say, if you become angry. He simply acknowledges that it's going to happen. So anticipate that you are going to experience this emotion in your family relationships. Now, having said that, don't make it your practice to ensure that anger occurs. Over the years, I've learned what buttons, if pushed, will make my wife react. I wish I could stand before you and say that I have learned never to push those buttons. But I have to admit that there are times when I go ahead and just push away. So when you give in to those urges and anger results, the apostle admonishes us not to let the day go by without bringing resolution to outbursts of anger. The reason? The reason is pretty straightforward. He says unresolved anger gives Satan the opportunity to move in and destroy relationships, something he loves to do. And so our refusal to resolve arguments does not only keep us locked into hurtful postures, but traps us in the schemes of the devil. So make it your habit to keep short accounts when anger wins the day. Well, finally, families who are growing wise look for ways to impart encouragement. This past week, Janie and I traveled to Barrie to attend the piano recital of three of our grandsons, all of them brothers. This has now become somewhat of an annual event. And as we entered the recital hall, shades of what happened last year at this recital came to mind. The program last year was arranged so that the youngest of the three brothers actually started the recital, while the oldest was the last performer of the event. The middle boy was tucked away into the middle of the program. While the first grandson played his piece flawlessly and bowed to acknowledge the applause of the crowd. When it came time for the second boy to play, he started off well, but partway through had a mental lapse and stopped playing. He stared at his father with a look of panic and then recalled his piece and continued on to the end. When he was finished, he didn't bother to try to bow or anything. He just simply ran from the platform and buried his head in his father's shoulders. However, what touched me more was when his older brother reached out his hand, tussling his younger brother's hair while saying, "It's okay, I might mess up when I play too." It was his way of imparting encouragement to a disheartened sibling. It may not have taken the sting of failure away, but it showed a willingness to enter into his brother's pain to bring comfort. And really, that's about the best we can do when others become overwhelmed by disappointment. So when it comes to displaying God's kind of wisdom in our families, the wise look for ways to celebrate the wonder of God, give instruction from the Word of God, follow the biblical instruction to keep short accounts when anger happens, and embrace encouragement as a way of life. In keeping these, you will show yourself to be wise in family matters. Well, the story Jesus gave illustrates so clearly the folly of not choosing wisely for our families. I believe that every person here wants to make wise choices for their family. No one sets out to purposely destroy the family in which they live. But sometimes we just lose our way. About the time we were beginning to raise our children, pastor and author Charlie Shedd published several books that were essentially letters that he had composed to his children when they were young to teach them the truths of scriptures. In his book, Promises to Peter, he included this account. "Before I put you in your crib, Peter, I want to tell you something your brother Philip said. We had been in the country for a ride. It was evening and we ran out of gas. We were walking along after we had been to a farmhouse and I was carrying a can of gas. Philip was only 4. He was playing along, throwing rocks at telephone poles, picking flowers, and then all of a sudden it got dark. Sometimes night comes all at once in the country. Philip came over, put his little hand in mine and said, 'Take my hand, Daddy. I might get lost.' Peter, there is a hand reaching to you from the heart of the universe. If you will lay your hand in the hand of God and walk with Him, you will never get lost." When it comes to building prevailing homes, there is a hand reaching out to you to lead you so that you won't get lost. And if you will learn to trust God and take His hand, He will guide you in finding the right plans for laying a secure foundation for strong and healthy homes. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you again for these stories that in many ways are so simple and yet are so profound. And so we ask that you will help us to learn from these words of Jesus, to be wise builders, to build our families, to build our homes, to build our lives on the teachings of Jesus and the ways of the Scriptures. And we'll thank you for what you do and accomplish in the name of Jesus. Amen.